You're tuned in to listen to Big Blue Kickoff live on Giants.com. The show will begin shortly.
It's time for Big Blue Kickoff Live, only on Giants.com.
Manning going to keep one downfield, past the defense's Cruz, who's got it at the 20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown Giants, 70 yards, salsa time, and Big D, Victor Cruz with another.
Play fake, Freeman back to throw, under pressure, heaves it downfield, intercepted by Roll at the 5, runs left to the 15, cuts right back to the 20, looking for a block up to the 30, and drag down there.
Manning takes the snap, back to throw. Sidearms one left sideline, and it's caught for the touchdown by Reuben Randall.
Golzine takes the snap. Pass
intercepted as he threw it right, picked off by a jumping Jason Pierre-Paul, and he runs it in for the touchdown. And finally, Carl, you can say you're down with JPP, the 28-yard TD.
Now, here's your host, John Schmelk.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com, 201-939-4513, or hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter if you want to participate in the program in that forum. Good morning, everybody. Hope you had a fantastic weekend. One more week here. The Giants have mandatory minicamp. They are gone. They will not be back until the third Monday of July, July 21st, for training camp starting on July 22nd, as the Giants get ready for that Hall of Fame game. Everything a little bit earlier this year because of the Hall of Fame game. So 3 days of practice this week. They'll do a little bit more than what they do during OTAs, but really not much of a change. You know, contact rules are the same. You know, these guys can't do a ton. So we'll keep an eye on it. But what I want to start on tonight, and we have had a chance to do a show since John Beeson's injury, and obviously it's a big one for the Giants, and we talked about it on Friday a little bit. We tried to anticipate and guess what and predict what the injury might be. It's not the worst possible injury in that Beeson's not out for the year. It's obviously not the best case scenario, or Beeson's out a couple of weeks. You know, he fractured basically a bone on the ball of his foot, which is a big problem. That's where you push off and, you know, create all your power from. He tore ligaments there as well, according to the Giants release. I haven't heard anything about his follow-up appointment with a doctor. They'll determine if surgery is necessary or it's going to be rehab. If reports are to be believed, surgery seems to be predetermined at this point. It's going to happen. And, again, reports say it's going to be 12 weeks. The Giants have not released an official timetable. It could be more, it could be less. And here's how this affects the Giants' defense, in my opinion. The linebacker position, with Jameel McClain coming in, the coaches have loved what they see from out of practice. With John Beeson in the middle, you got Jaquan and Paysinger on the weak side, emerging rookie Devon Kennard. You could have had a position of strength. Now, if you move Jameel McClain to middle, you know, do you put Kennard over at Sam then? Do you start Paysinger and Williams? Maybe linebacker now is just, okay, you can get by. And you feel like the Giants have been trying to just get by at linebacker for years. And that's a shame. You know, and last year, quite frankly, let's be honest here, this Giants defense, until they got to that Philadelphia game in Week 5, and really, let's be honest, the second half of the Bears game on October 10th really didn't play well last year. They were okay. The offense put them in some bad situations, but they weren't a great defensive team by any means. It was when Will Hill got back from his suspension. It was when the John Beeson trade got completed and he came over from Carolina that this Giant defense really turned things around and helped bring this team to a very strong second half and final 10 games of the season after that 0-6 start. Now you're without Will Hill, the suspension, he gets released. John Beeson out for 12 weeks. How is his defense going to recover? Now, you're probably more talented in the back end than you were last year with the additions of Walter Thurmond and Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie. But you still don't have a great pass rush. You're missing your two impact players from last year, especially against the run. And now you lost your best run defender last year in Justin Tuck. Another great run defender who could have, actually, he might have been your best guy in Linval Joseph, and then your best run-stuffing linebacker in John Beeson. I'd be concerned about stopping the run at this point. And Will Hill was great against the run coming down the box too, by the way. I'd have legitimate concerns about stopping the run. Legit. I don't think your coverage is going to get hurt that much. I think you'll survive. I think Stevie Brown will replace Will Hill just fine. And Beeson was never a great coverage guy anyway. But I worry about the run defense. I really do. And how the Giants approach Beeson now will be interesting once they get the full prognosis. Will they try to get him back in week 2, 3, or 4? Or will they just pump him and hope to get him back after week 6? Here's the problem. If you put him on PUP, your bye week is in week 8. Does that mean you just hold him out the first 7 weeks of the year? And if you do that, then you miss games against the Eagles and Cowboys. And Redskins, all three on the road. Do you want your one of your best defensive players to miss those three games? I don't know if you do. You know, do you try to get him back then in week 2 or 3? Potentially. Fair question to ask if you're the Giants. But let's get the prognosis first, see if surgery is required. Again, reports seem to indicate that it will be. The Giants haven't announced that yet, and they'll go from there. But how do you think the Giants should replace John Beeson? How do you think the Giants' defense is going to be affected? And now what are you looking for moving forward here on this defense? You know, we all thought it was going to be, you know, one of the best defense in the conference. I think it's probably still the best defense in the division, but it's certainly not as good as it was a week ago or 2 weeks ago. You took off two of the best players off this defense in Beeson and Will Hill, and now they're going to have to figure out a way to survive. And this then puts pressure on the offense to get better quicker, learning Ben McAdoo's system. So all those things go together, and it's something the Giants will have to keep an eye on. But certainly a bad couple of weeks in terms of the suspension, the cutting of Will Hill, and John Beeson's injury as we head towards the end of the spring program. And now you hope a mandatory minicamp, knock on wood, that nobody else goes down with an injury. And they were very healthy. They'd stayed extremely healthy up until that Beeson injury, and then, you know, bam. And just bad news, tough break. Remember, though, Beeson was always injury-prone, folks. That was one of his issues coming out of Carolina. One of the issues giving him a big contract was risky. He's had ACLs, he's had Achilles, and now this. And, boy, it sounded painful, the way he described how it happened. He said it felt like he stepped in a storm drain, and he just felt the bottom of his foot give way. I mean, he shattered the ball of his foot underneath his big toe. Just think about when you walk and you run and you jump if you play sports, how much pressure you put on the ball of your foot below your big toe. That's how you get all your power pushing off, cutting. So this could be a long way back for John Beeson. It's not good. 201-939-4513. We have some open lines if you want to get in here. Talk some Giants football. Hashtag Giants chat on Twitter. Let's go to William in the Bronx. William, you're up next. What's going on, pal?
Hey, John, how are you?
I'm doing great, William. How are you this morning?
I'm great, man. Listen, man, I don't think all is gone with the defense on this New York Giants team, man. I think that the coaches just need to step up and get some of the new guys, the new veterans, and some of the younger guys up to speed faster. I had called back a couple of months ago before the draft, and I made the same comment about the defense, not just the defensive coach, just the position coaches in general. Well, these are where the guys need to have great coaching to coach up in case something like this happens.
Well, look, you always have to have depth, and depth in the NFL is a very important thing. That being said, the way the NFL is structured, William, you know this. I mean, the salary cap only allows you to have so many players that have X amount of talent in them. And John Beeson's an extremely talented player, both from a physical and from an intangible standpoint. And you're just not going to be able to bring somebody in and plug and play. Now, give the Giants credit. You know, their pro personnel department, I think, did a really good job bringing in Jameel McClain. And I think in a lot of ways, he can replace some of Beeson's leadership, his smarts, his vocal attitude on the field. I think those are all very good things. But, again, you run into the problem here where now you lose McClain from strong side linebacker. Who do you put in there? So there's a domino effect here that certainly hurts, but I do think McClain will limit the impact of Beeson's loss in the middle to some extent.
Absolutely, absolutely. But I think, like, I've been listening to a lot of callers call in, particularly about one issue where the Giants as an organization doesn't really give their younger players enough snaps and enough time on the field to really develop fast enough. So I just see this as one of those type of opportunities. I like Paysinger, and I like Jaquan Williams. I think those dudes, if they got enough time, You know, and we also know that Coach Stauffen like to let those guys earn their playing time through practice. Well, here you go. And it's just a matter of the coaching getting these guys to develop and to become, you know, future superstars in the league.
Well, William, in fairness, both Jaquan Williams and Spencer Paysinger have both gotten a ton of time at linebacker. I mean, there are other guys you can point to if you want to talk, you know, point to a Ramsey's Barden maybe or a Travis Beckham or an Adrian Robinson. Those guys never got a ton of snaps, and I think that's fair. But Jaquan Williams has had a lot of opportunities here to prove he deserves to be on the field. Mark Herzlich has gotten tons of opportunities to prove that he should be on the field. And so is Spencer Paysinger. And I think, frankly, Paysinger has probably played the best out of all three the most consistently. Jaquan Williams has flashed here and there, but he hasn't been consistent. I don't think
those guys got enough consistent time on the field, though. I mean, I'm not saying that they have to be starters, but if you give them enough reps and enough reps in practice, enough snaps in real-time games, then I think these guys have really proved to be what they were when they were drafted.
Well, I mean, Jaquan Williams was a seventh-round draft pick. Spencer Paysinger was an undrafted free agent. These guys, it's not like these guys were, you know, top three or four-round picks. I remember Jaquan Williams was a starter in his second year in the league. Paysinger started last year before John Beeson got here. So, I mean, these guys have been used, and they have played in pretty important situations.
Yeah, but they played pretty good, though. You witnessed that yourself. You testified to that yourself.
Paysinger's been solid, and Jaquan Williams has flashed, but he's been very inconsistent. He's made as many good plays as he has bad. You hope this is his breakout year. He has the physical ability to do it. He just has to kind of get his head on straight and do it consistently. You know what I mean, Will?
Yeah, I do. Well, thanks for taking my call, John. Appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for the call, Will, man. And watch out for that New York City traffic. I hear that in the background, bud.
yeah.
All right, man, take it easy.
All right, thanks.
Thanks, Will. 201-939-4513. That sounds like my morning commute to work. Let's go back to the phones. I can't do him this early. I got to get a couple more positive calls. Sorry, Charlie. I'll get to you in a second. Let's go to Tom in New York first. Tom, what's going on, pal?
Hey, John. Good morning.
Good morning, Tom. How are you?
Good, good. It's been a while since I've called, so congratulations on your upcoming marriage.
Thank you, sir.
And in defense of Iowa, I'm dating a girl from Iowa, have been for a couple of years. Iowa's a fantastic place. Des Moines area is great. She lives not far from Des Moines, too, so we got something in common there.
Yeah, you know, Tom, it's funny. You know, people think, you know, Iowa is this thing, you know, basically just a huge flat state full of nothing but corn. But Des Moines is actually a really, really nice city. And believe it or not, by per capita, it's something like the richest or second richest city in the country, because there's a lot of, like, life insurance and banks out there and stuff like that. So it's actually a pretty affluent place. And like I tell everybody else, people from the Midwest are some of the nicest people you'll ever meet. There could not be a bigger difference between girls from the Midwest and girls that are from New York. They're polar opposites in the best ways possible.
I agree wholeheartedly. So, and you're right. Des Moines is actually a really nice, clean, beautiful city. So,
yeah,
if you got a chance to visit, I encourage people to do so. But anyway, Giants football. The John Beeson injury hurts, but I think the people in the Giants organization are smart people, and I think they had a plan, a contingency plan for something like this. I mean, they knew that Beeson wasn't the most durable guy in the world, and I think, like you mentioned, Jameel McClain is a part of that. Sounds like he's been making calls on the defense, so, you know, hopefully he can hold the fort in the middle. And then on the strong side, Kennard kind of played the strong side in USC, did he not?
Yeah, he did a little bit. He played more of that 3-4 outside linebacker, but that's not that bad of a transition to a Sam linebacker in the 4-3. So I think that's something that he should be able to do. But remember, he's a rookie now, and he wasn't a day one or day two pick. So I would certainly expect some growing pains out of him as he starts learning some of these new positions.
Yeah, I mean, he's not obviously going to be the first or best choice, but he seems like he could fit in there possibly. And the strong side, typically the Giants only use that on obvious running down to
right.
Their base defense, which isn't, you know, the most used defense in the NFL.
That's true.
Nickels are pretty much the default defense in the NFL, and that's where we're the strongest still with the corners that we picked up in the offseason. So I don't think all is lost, and hopefully Beeson can make it back in week two, week three, week four, if all goes well in that 12-week plan. But I think the Giants had a contingency plan. We might not know it yet, but I'm sure that they had some sort of plan in case something like this happened.
No, look, Tom, I agree. And I think everyone knew Beeson was an injury risk. But, again, like you said, that strong side linebacker, those three linebackers usually aren't on the field except for first and second down. I agree. That's why I don't think pass defense is going to necessarily be affected much by Beeson's injury. He was never a great cover guy to begin with, and now, you know, you can put Paysinger and Williams on the field. You can put McLean and Williams on the field. Whoever you want to play on, you know, third down or second and long, you can do that. And like you said, nickel really is now the most commonly played defense because of the 3-4 wide receiver spreads, the spread offense, all that sort of stuff. That's great. But I do worry about stopping the run on first and second down here. You know, and remember, last year, the start of the year, the Giants did get run on a little bit. You know, later on in the year, they started shutting all these running backs down when John Beeson got here. But I do worry about the rush defense a little bit. Go back 2 years ago, you know, when this team really struggled against the run. Now they've lost Tuck. They've lost Beeson. They've lost Will Hill, three of their stronger players down there in the box. And I just, look, I like Jonathan Hankins. I like Robert Ayers. I think those guys can play. But I do worry a little about that run defense now on first and second down with Beeson, Hill, and Tuck, and Linval Joseph all not being here.
Well, I think I'm really high on Jonathan Hankins, especially after reading Pete's report on Pro Football Focus on how well he did, especially against the Eagles. I don't think, I might be really optimistic, but I don't think the drop-off between Linval Joseph and Jonathan Hankins is going to be that great.
I agree with that. I think Hankins is going to be fantastic. I'm with you.
And I also think that, I don't want to take anything away from Beeson and Will Hill, the help that they gave our defense when they came back after week four last year. But I do think that Jameel McClain, if he has to be in the middle, is greater than what we had last year before Beeson came on.
I agree with that, too. That's fair.
So I think that's something. It might not be as good as having Beeson in the middle, but I do think that having McClain there is a solid plan B that will maybe not keep us as dominant as we were against the run once Beeson came in, but will keep us better than we were in the first 4 weeks of last year.
Okay. I think that's probably a good, realistic goal. You know, you're not going to be what you were the last 8 to 10 weeks, but if you could be better than you were the first four, I think that's probably a good goal to have.
Yep.
Thanks, Tom.
Thanks for taking my call, Jeff.
Hey, Tom, appreciate it, man. You have anything else for me? I didn't mean to cut you off there. I'm sorry about that.
No, I was just going to make a final comment. And once again, good luck and have fun, and hopefully everything's okay in Thailand for you, too.
You know what? Right now, everything looks pretty peaceful, and unfortunately for the rest of this world, there are a lot of worse places to be. So everything's booked.
Yeah.
We're going, and it should be a fun time. We're psyched.
Good. Have fun. Thanks for taking my call.
Hey, good to hear from you, Tom. Don't be a stranger. Thanks, man. 201-939-4513. All right. Charlie in Portland, Maine, bring us back to reality, buddy.
Hey, Josh.
How are you doing,
are
Charlie?
You ready for it? Good. Are you ready for me now?
Yes, I am ready for you, Charlie. Go ahead.
All right. Hey, they did lift the military sanctions. Or not sanctions.
The curfew. Yeah, I know. I saw that.
Yeah. So you're good. You should be good. I look at this a couple ways. One, you know, they knew that Beeson had his injury problems. I don't understand why the Giants. I mean, he took about every snap and every voluntary camp. He did the OTAs. He was there. I mean, they should have given this guy a day off, you know, just because of his injury problems. But I look at it this way: he was going to get injured. It wasn't a matter of if; it was when. So
I think that's fair.
This is a good time to get injured. I'd rather have him injured now than have him go through the summer camp and preseason games, because he would have got injured one of those times because they wouldn't have arrested the guy. They would have had him out there every freaking day. So at least this way, he can come back in 12 weeks. He'll be back for maybe hopefully the second game, maybe even the first game, depending on what's going on.
You know, Charlie, it's funny. It's funny you say that. And I kind of made the same point a few weeks ago about Sean Lee, if you remember. And I think Lee and Beeson are both very similar. Both guys play so hard all the time that they become injury prone. And, you know, Lee's a smaller guy than Beeson. Beeson's a bigger guy. But that being said, you know, both guys, you say the Giants want to give him days off. John Beeson doesn't want a day off. Sean Lee doesn't want a day off. These guys want to go out there. And you know, in practice, some guys will walk through it. They'll, you know, not give 100% effort. They'll, you know, try to sustain themselves. That's not how guys like Sean Lee and John Beeson operate. They're going 100% every single play. And that's great.
Well, that's
you know, Charlie, that's great when the season gets here and they're a productive player. But it stinks because it leads to injuries and then they're not on the field.
Exactly. And that's where the coaching staff has to say, sit down. We want you. See, the good thing is he's going to be rested. He's going to be ready for the season, whether it's the first game, second game, or whatever. But he's going to be ready. His body's going to be better. All his other injuries that he's had, he's going to have a chance to rest those too. So I think actually it's a plus, because I think he was going to get injured anyway at some point, and it's better now than later.
No, Charlie, let me say one thing real quick on that.
Yeah.
One thing you worry about, when guys get hurt and they hurt their legs, right? Sometimes when they get back, you know, John Beeson's not going to be able to do any squats. John Beeson's not going to be able to do any heavy lifting, you know, with his lower leg with pressure on that foot. Now, you can do pool work. You know, you can still use some of the machines in there to keep your hamstring strong and, you know, stuff like that. But, you know, you just hope that when he gets back, you know, he's not prone to, you know, knee injuries or a muscle pull or something like that in that leg, because he hasn't been on it for 3 months. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, if he does some, you know, things like some yoga or Pilates, stretch it out, get your ligaments nice, he'll be fine. I think it's a blessing, to tell you the truth. And the other part of it, just like the last caller said, it's going to give a chance to find out who's going to be a good backup middle linebacker in case they need to give him Beeson a blow every once in a while, give him some rest. They'll have a guy. They'll see if they have a guy that can actually be a decent, good middle linebacker.
That's a good point.
You know, so, and you know, they'll probably, I don't know, Reese doesn't seem to value linebackers that much, but they'll probably bring somebody in just to. There's another linebacker on the squad. I think it's Spencer or Akins or.
Akins. I can't remember his first name. I don't have a roster in front of me.
Yeah.
And, you know, Dan Fox is another guy out of Notre Dame that I think could play the middle.
Yeah.
But no, he's been working primarily at Sam.
Yeah, he's a veteran. I mean, he played for somebody. I can't remember. I was just reading about him. So he's like 4 years in.
Yeah, he is.
So he's got some experience. So hopefully they'll give him a shot and maybe he'll produce, you know, at least for two or three games. So I don't know. So I look at it that way. I look at it like, hey, this is good. I mean, it's not good, but it's better now than later. And you know, I wasn't too upset about it. I mean, if he was gone for the whole year, then definitely. But at least you know he can come back unless there's complications.
Charlie, you must have had a great weekend. I've never heard you so positive my whole life.
Hey, John, I wanted to give you I didn't want to bring you down on Monday morning. I'll wait till the end of the week that I can do that.
All right, sounds
good. Actually, it was a beautiful weekend. It's been so beautiful up here. I mean, the weather just has been beautiful the last two or three days.
Some fishing for you up there, Charlie? What are you doing? Hiking, fishing? What are you up to?
Now I'm working a little, and doing some day hikes, but, you know, I'm not much of a fisher. I definitely don't hunt. I'm not into hunting. So, but I've done a little fly fishing, you know.
There you go.
You know, people keep saying, like, why can you catch so much fish? How do you do it? They think it's my, you know, the ties, and I said, no, I just talk to the fish, and they finally just jump out of the water and say, what's the point?
see now what I figure, Charlie, is that they're hearing you talking to them, and they figure I'd rather jump out of the water and commit suicide than keep listening to this guy.
They listen to me.
Yeah, exactly.
Because they get so depressed. You know?
All right, Charlie, thanks for the call, pal.
Yeah.
Good to hear from you, man. Good. Take it easy. 201-939-4513. Oh, boy. Charlie, good laugh today. I appreciate that. Back to the phones. Let's go to, is this Elijah in Indiana? Elijah, what's going on, man? Good morning. How you doing?
Hello?
Elijah, what's up?
Hey, what's up, guys? Yeah, this is my third time calling, and usually always call like something big happens.
Yeah.
But this is a big thing with the whole Beeson injury, which I'm not upset about. I know that, like he said, that the caller said, he's gonna be injured sometime. So I wasn't too surprised, but I think that we should bring in child working out. What's his name? USC Kennard.
Yeah, Devon Kennard.
Yeah, I heard that they were trying to bring him in the middle to step up.
Right now, Devon Kennard, believe it or not, is working as the backup Mike linebacker. McLean's been number one, and Kennard's been number two. And Kennard's also learning the strong and the weak side. So right now, the Giants are pretty happy about the pace in which he's learning. Obviously, you can't see a whole lot yet in OTAs. There's no contact, and linebackers have to hit. We know all that. But at least from a learning perspective, I think Kennard's been pretty impressive so far.
Yeah, because, I mean, I hate bringing McLean out of the strong side role, because I know that's the strongest point. But that's the strongest area. But if we have to bring him in the middle, then, no. This is what happens. But what else do I want to talk about? So how is Robert Ayers looking?
You know, again, it's really tough on the offense and defensive lines without contact to know. But I will say this. I've seen Robert Ayers play both left end and right, and I've seen him in both spots. He's good against the run. I've seen him get into the backfield a couple times, rushing the passer. So, I mean, I've been fine with him. I've been happy with him. But, again, until you get to training camp and you start getting some real contact, it's really hard to tell how well these defensive and offensive linemen are playing.
Yeah. Thank you. I have one more question.
Sure.
With Trenton Holliday, I heard that he's been playing some pretty good, I mean, playing some pretty good wide receiver, taking some wide receiver snaps. And so is he going to be playing wide receiver also punt returner?
Yeah, he has been, actually. He's been getting a lot more snaps at wide receiver than I expected. Jarrell Jernigan was probably away for about a week when he had a death in the family. So that really opened up a spot for Trenton Holliday. And, you know, he was basically playing the slot with the twos for a good week and a half. And, you know, he showed some potential. He's extremely quick side to side. He's so small. He's a good guy you can kind of throw those slants to really close to the ground. You can go down and get him. I mean, his change of pace, his change of direction, his, you know, speed is really off the charts. I've seen them run a couple, like, end the rounds to him, things like that. So they think they have a guy they could use as an offensive weapon. If he can figure out the system, you know, run good routes and things of that nature, he could be a weapon on offense this year if he makes the team, which, frankly, I still think is a 50-50 proposition.
Yeah, I think they should make the team because I think he's really, you know, a good deep threat.
I agree.
I heard that he had, like, one play, like a little hitch route on DRC and, like, you know, got him. And I was like, whoa, he was pretty good, so... Yeah, so that's awesome to say. Thanks for taking my call.
Hey, appreciate the call, Elijah. Be good, man. 201-939-4513. One thing I want to say, too, and I know I've brought this up before, but I want to say it again, because every time I watch practice, it's the same damn thing. So far, Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie is a monster. I mean, I've seen maybe over 10 OTAs. Three passes get caught on him. I mean, he is all over the place on these wide receivers. Remember, you can't even bump and run at this point. So there's really no contact. So the corners are at a disadvantage to these wide receivers. They really are. When you can't bump them at the line of scrimmage and, you know, make it hard for them to get off their routes. And Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie is by far so much faster than everybody else on that field, and that includes Trenton Holliday, by the way. Guys just don't get open. They can't get past him running deep. If they run any of those comebacks or stops, DRC's all over. He's playing fantastic. And he looks like a number one shutdown corner. Look, Corey Webster in his prime was very good here. He really was. I never saw Corey Webster look like this in practice. Never. That's how good Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie looks. And I think as long as he continues to play that well, I think it's going to be an interesting season for Prince. Because the last year or so, frankly, the Giants have had so many issues across from Prince, teams have kind of stayed away from him. Now, if Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie is playing like an all-pro, they're going to go after Prince a little bit. And they're going to attack his side. And let's see how he responds. I think that'll be an interesting thing to see as the season goes along. 201-939-4513. This is Ari in Highland Park. Ari, good morning.
What's going on, John?
Nothing much, Ari. What's going on with you? Hey, thanks for calling in, pal.
First off, hope you had a really nice weekend. For your bachelor party. I don't want to discuss it.
You know what? I will not say too much about it. I will say the police were never involved at any point, which is always a good sign. I'm still getting married in less than 2 weeks, which is also a good sign. And I had a hell of a lot of fun. So put all those things together. It turns into a great weekend. Exactly.
All right. Cool. Just got a couple of points I want to touch on real quick.
Yeah.
The first thing is regarding the Beeson injury, regarding the defense. If we had to, you know, put out one problem for the first six games of last year when we, you know, started 0-6, the defense was not the issue.
It was turnovers.
You know, the issue was the turnovers, exactly.
Agreed.
The turnovers led to points scored on the defense.
I agree with that.
Yeah. So, you know, when it comes down to it, Did our team get a hell of a lot better once Beeson started and once Wilhoit came back? Yes, it did. But they were serviceable. They got the job done for the most part. Now, if the onus is on the offense, if the offense plays better, the defense, you know, will not give up 30 points a game to Carolina and to Denver. And, you know, we just had way too many turnovers, and that was a total freak thing. But like Charlie said, I really do think this is kind of a blessing in disguise as far as Beeson goes. We know he's got a history of problem with injury. We know he's got an injury problem historically. And, you know, earlier the better. Now, one question is, when they usually give a 12-week, you know, timetable, is that till he's able to start working out again, or is that, you know, until he's ready to go?
Well, remember, the Giants didn't give the 12-week turntable, that timetable. I keep saying turntable. Timetable. You know, that was something Kim Jones reported on Twitter and a couple other people have followed up on based on, you know, I guess they probably talked to some doctors and, you know, they got details on how long that injury usually takes to heal, et cetera, et cetera. So right now, I mean, I would guess that would be 12 weeks from whenever the surgery would take place. Again, I didn't make the report, so I can't tell you. So my guess is 12 weeks from the surgery. But, again, the Giants haven't released anything, so I can't tell you for sure what the timetable is.
Right. Okay, so that's fine. But let's say, you know, even worst-case scenario, he is out for the PUP. You know, he's put on the PUP list. You know, if we have to go a few weeks without him, look, someone else has got to step up, and the onus is on the offense to just play a hell of a lot better. That's, you know, they targeted so much, you know, in the offseason. That's what they targeted, is to try to really improve that the offense. So, Okay, so I'm okay with that. My other question, I guess, would be, you know, which of the tight ends has really – have any of them shown their mark in practice so far, as far as Robinson?
You know, Ari, I've seen a couple players here and there from each guy. What I haven't seen is one guy put together, you know, consecutive or two or three or four great practice where, like, well, you know, this guy's really seizing the position. What I've seen is one guy make a play now, you know, two or three practices go by, then he makes another play. In between, one guy makes a play. So it's kind of been an off and on deal. Quite frankly, the offense hasn't been great through OTAs. You know, they're learning a new system. It's not a surprise. You figured it'd be slow going. So, no, if you were to ask me which tight end has played the best, oh, boy. You know what? That's even a tough question to answer, to be honest with you. I mean, Tom Coughlin said he's been happy with the fact that Adrian Robinson and Larry Donnell haven't been making some of the mental mistakes they've made in the past, so I guess that's a good sign. But I can't tell you now with any certainty who I think is, you know, number one in that wide receiver battle. I guess if I had to, I'd say Kellen Davis, but
okay. It's
honestly hard to tell.
Okay. Well, I appreciate it. One last quick thing. Yeah. I know you announced that that training camp is going to start around the 22nd.
Yeah, give or take.
Did they release the actual schedule of dates yet? Or
I have not, honestly, I haven't seen internally the training camp schedule yet, when they have days off or anything like that, so I do not believe that's been released. I would expect that to be released probably, and again, I'm just taking a guess here. I'd say either next week or the first week of July is probably when we'll see a training camp schedule release, so you guys can know when you can come out to practice.
All righty, cool. The U.S. better win today because otherwise we'll be freaking out.
U.S. and Ghana, man. You know what? Because they bet. You know what? Because they better beat Ghana because they ain't beating Germany. So they better beat Ghana.
Otherwise, it's gonna be a very, very long month.
That is very true. Thanks for the call, Ari.
All righty, appreciate it.
Have a good one, man. Wow, a little World Cup, a little football on our football show. And by the way, excellent job by the San Antonio Spurs. I picked them in 7, as you guys well know. It was a lot easier than I thought it was going to be for them. I didn't think it was going to be that easy. And I think the Spurs probably played better in this series than they had for the most part during the year. I think they kind of got hot at the right time, which is part of it. But that being said, I think the Spurs are also the better team, and I thought so going in. And boy, just a fun brand of basketball to watch, isn't it? Great. And the one thing I thought of late last night, I'm not sure if you guys saw my tweet, how the hell did the Dallas Mavericks bring that team to 7 games? How'd they play them to a 7-game series? The Dallas Mavericks? Like Jose Calderon and Vince Carter trying to play defense on those guys? I mean, how the hell did that even happen? But everything's ending, man. The World Cup's starting, NBA playoffs are over, NHL playoffs are over. Condolences to the Ranger fans out there. I know that hurt watching the Kings win that Stanley Cup title. But bottom line here, folks. Very soon, we're going to be left with just baseball for about a month until the NFL starts getting ratcheted up again. So, should be fun. Should be fun. NBA Draft 2, Carmelo, will he leave, will he stay? All questions that must be pondered. Won't be pondered by me because I'll be on a beach somewhere in Thailand. Hello? Mike in Dumont. Mike, what's going on, pal?
Hey, good morning, John. How you doing?
Good morning. How are you, Mike?
I'm good, thanks. You know, you sound pretty good for a guy just coming off his bachelor party. Very well rested and upbeat. I know after bachelor parties in my history, I've been hurting until midweek. So,
well, you know what, Mike? I'll put it this way. If I was trying to do a show Sunday morning, that would have been a rough go. That would have been a rough go. The more intense night turned out to be Friday night. So Saturday was also a rough day. And then Sunday, not great. But I've kind of had a half a day to recover here, so I'm doing okay today.
That's hysterical. I remember I started a new job on a Monday after a Myrtle Beach bachelor party.
Oh, that must have been ugly.
And I had to sit right next to the boss in the room. He actually turned to me afterwards and looked at me and asked me if I had malaria. And I was just like, no, I had a Myrtle Beach bachelor party. He's like, oh, understood. Hey, I got two quick questions and then actually a technical question.
Yeah, sure.
EBKL, if you could help me. But first, Charlie, a few calls back, stole my thunder. You know, if there's ever really a good time for anyone to get hurt, and there never is, but I'd much rather Beeson do it during OTAs than, you know, game 3 and then have to miss 12 weeks.
Right.
I guess my question is, why are we, everyone seems to be just discounting Herzlick. Is he done? Is he now relegated to special teams? Because all you hear is chat about, you know, McLean can move over or you know, this rookie from USC is going to get a lot of reps. But you don't hear about Herzlick stepping up and taking back his old spot. The guy's got another year to get stronger and dig deeper into the defensive playbook. I'm just curious why his name's not really ever mentioned is picking up the slack.
Well, again, this isn't anything that anybody in the Giants have told me, coaches, players, or, you know, I mean, the front office of the organization. But the way I see it is that I think the Giants have seen enough of Mark Herzlick at middle linebacker to know what they have. And I think they've kind of determined that he's not a starting caliber middle linebacker in this league. He struggles so much in coverage. That doesn't mean he's not going to be in the team now. You know, he's a great special teams player. So, you know, you want to have him here as depth as a Sam and as a Mike and be a core special teamer. You know, that's something you can do if you like. But in my opinion, and again, no one's told me this. This is just me going off what I've seen over the course of his last 3 years of his career. In my opinion, the ship has sailed on the Mark Herzlick as a full-time middle linebacker in this league.
Wow. That's disappointing because he came out with a lot of hubbub out of Boston College, but you know, especially overcoming his illness and everything. But well, it is what it is. If he can't play, he can't play. My second question was, whatever happened to that? You know, a couple years back, we took some monster out of I think it was University of Ohio, the Herman, the offensive guard, and you know, people talk and ranted and raved how he's a mauler and he just blows people up in the run game. And, you know, people were talking about how he's going to be the Snead heir apparent. And then, you know, you don't hear anything about this kid. I'm not even sure he's still on the team. And is he relegated to the practice squad for life, or what's his story?
Well, remember, Eric Hermann was drafted last year, so he's only been on the team a year. He was a seventh-round pick. So those guys are usually developmental type of players. He's still on the team. I can tell you he was here as much as any other player on the roster working out in the offseason. So he's been working his rear end off. And you're right, his name probably isn't as mentioned as much as it should be when you talk about potential depth and, you know, guys that can help you at guard over the course of the season. I agree with you on that. Let's see how he plays in training camp. And more importantly, I want to see how he plays in the preseason game. So I think once you get a better feel, I think there's a chance Eric Hermann can certainly make this team as a backup guard if he shows you enough during the course of the summer.
Okay. As far as the tech question goes, you know, I'll preface this by saying I love the show and I love listening, but I don't have the ability to always listen live either at home or at work.
Yeah.
So I'm a big fan of, you know, coming back whenever I can and listening to the uploads. But recently I'm seeing, you know, some days aren't put on, or sometimes one day will just be a portion of that day will be put on. So I went ahead and downloaded the app, which was surprising, because I'm definitely the last person to do that does anything right technology-wise. I'm terrible with tech. So I downloaded it right. It worked. I got to listen to it was two full shows during the last couple weeks at the gym. And after the second full show, I get an email from my Verizon Wireless saying that I blew through my 2 gig allowance of data. And I'm like, what the heck? I was just wondering, do you know, or is that 2 gigs going through on two shows at like 2 hours listening? I was like, wow, that's surprising. Is that
you know, that's a good question. I'm not that familiar technically about that. And here's, you know, here's my guess. Is that the way the show streams, it streams as a video show, even though it's, you know, basically an audio program, but we have that still up there that says, you know, you're listening to Big Blue Kickoff Live with the phone number. So
right.
If you are streaming video on your phone for the better part of 2 or 3 hours, it can use up a lot of data. Again, you're talking to the wrong guy. I'm not the guy that sets all that stuff up and everything. What you can do if you want, send a if you have a question about that, just send a tweet at Giants, and one of our tech guys here will hopefully see that, and they can get back to you on that question.
All right, brother. Well, I appreciate it, and if I don't get to chat with you before the wedding, congrats and good luck.
Great. I appreciate the call. Thanks, Mike.
Have a good day.
Take it easy. You too. 201-939-4513. Shakes is in Baltimore, Maryland. I haven't talked to Shakes since the John Beeson injury. How'd you survive this weekend, buddy?
Oh, man. Oh, I got the news on S on the shakedown, man. I went off, man. I'm like, oh, no. Oh, what? Oh, it was crazy. Yeah. I got a few things I want to speak about.
Sure.
First off, I want to just say, okay, you are the man. Because we had to deal with P. Dot last week, and that didn't go too well with a lot of the Giant fans. Okay? I'm just going to say that.
What happened?
And, I mean, just, you know, just P. Dot. All right? And what specifically happened when he was with Anita Marks on the show, they were cutting callers off short. I mean, they were cutting them shorter than a midget. I'm trying to tell you. I mean, you get off one thing to say, and then they cut you right off. And I mean, it was a big problem, and a lot of fans was, you know, talking about that. So, yeah, kind of mention that to Anita and P. Dot to let the callers go a little bit.
I will have a conversation.
All right. The Beeson thing, okay? It's something that makes me mad about that thing, because we all know, like Charlie said, that it wasn't a matter of if, but when. And if we all knew this, the Giants front office knew this, why didn't you get insurance? This is what I've been saying on my show. What I don't understand is, why didn't you get insurance for this guy? When you get a high-priced toy, you always get insurance.
Yeah, but
toys.
Shakes, if a guy has a bad enough injury history, you can't get that contract insured sometimes. I mean, that's what happened when the Knicks signed Amari Stoudemire to that 5-year, $100 million contract. they can find an insurance company on the planet that would insure that guy with his knees. So when a guy has that sort of injury history, you can't get insurance sometimes because of the fact that he's, you know, so injury prone.
But what I mean by insurance, John, I mean get somebody in, a veteran that you know can step in his place. Now, I know
they have Jamil McClain.
McClain, right?
Yeah.
Right? I understand that. But my thing is, okay, we doing that to put him back on the outside when Beeson comes back. And then McClain is not even a healthy guy that you can say, oh, we for sure he's going to be there 16 games. So why don't we have a guy there? Why don't we bring in another veteran? We got a lot of young guys in there right now. Can we get in a veteran? I don't care if he's a 12-year veteran. I don't care.
Well, Shakes, here's the thing. You want a veteran, then every other caller I get says you want to give younger guys a chance to play. Which one is it? You can't have it both ways.
My thing is about the young guys playing, and I wanted to speak on that too. But my thing about the young guys playing is, yeah, we got to see what they can do. But we also got to have some insurance behind it. If they can't hold up the weight of being a starter, then that veteran can. And if he has the potential, speaking of the young guy, if the young guy has the potential to be that starter, then that veteran can help a lot, you know? So I don't see no harm in bringing in a veteran right now. I just don't see it. Now, my thing about the young guys that I was going to
speak on. Yeah, but,
Chase,
here's the problem. Is there a veteran out there that you think is better than, you know, Spencer Pacing, or it's better than Jamil McClain? Don't bring in a veteran just for the hell of it. Bring in a veteran if you think he's good enough to play. Oh, Vilma's washed up, Chase. Vilma's got nothing left.
What'd you say?
Vilma's toast.
Vilma's toast.
He's toast. He's got nothing left, man.
Nothing left in the thing, huh? But, I mean, just guys like that, you know what I'm saying? It's somebody out there. And you know me, I'm a Pat Angra guy, but you say he got a little injury problem right now.
Not even healthy enough to practice, right?
Right, so I don't know, but that's what I mean, just bringing a veteran guy. Now, I wanted to speak on the young guys again. What I was saying about that was in Fossil era, he started Jeremy Shockey from day one. Do you think Coughlin, as a head coach at that time, would have started Shockey day one?
Oh, boy. I'm trying to think. They drafted Shianko the year before Shockey. Is that accurate?
No, after.
He was the year after Shockey. Okay.
Yes.
Well, you know what? They had a pretty big void there. Let me put it this way. If the Giants would have used the first or second round pick in a tight end this year, in my opinion, Coughlin would have started. They would have been the starter this year.
That's big to say. That's big to say because me and a lot of other fans that I talk to seem to agree with me that, you know, he don't start these rookies off the bat. And I don't think that Shockey would have got a day one start. He would probably have been thrown in probably week six as a starter. You know, they would have seen what he got the first couple, 6 weeks, but they would have had a veteran ahead of him. And then, you know, he would have eventually been a starter, but I don't think day one, no. And I think that's a problem. I had another thing that I wanted to say, John.
That's all right, Chase. Call back tomorrow. You can get it in tomorrow.
No problem. Congrats on the wedding, and I hope you ain't party too hard in the bachelor party.
Nah, I'm all right.
All right.
I'm good.
Thanks for taking my call, and I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Thanks, Shakes. Appreciate it, dude. 201-939-4513. Let's stick on the phones. I got three more guys on the line, and then we'll probably wrap here. I got to run at 10:30, folks. Got a lot of stuff going on. Let's go to Andrew in Stanhope, New Jersey. Andrew, you're going on next. What's going on, pal?
Hey, what's up, John?
What do you got, Andrew?
Shakes was right. They were short with the callers. I had a trivia question, and they cut me off before I gave the answer. And the guy was talking about the phone, listening. You could also listen through the computer, and it won't use any memory. You know, that's what I did in Thailand a couple times.
Well, and also what you could do, if Mike and Dumont's still listening, if you connect via a Wi-Fi network, if you're at the gym, they might have free Wi-Fi or something like that. If you listen to the show through Wi-Fi, that won't take up your data either. So I should have brought that up. But Mike and Dumont, if you're listening, you can hook up through your data through Wi-Fi and listen that way, and that will not hurt your data. So there you go.
But I have some names for you and Shakes, that linebacker. Dan Connor, possibly, if you could trade with Dallas, but that probably won't happen.
Nah,
Bosworth,
I mean, Dan Connor's a free agent. He isn't signed with anybody yet, as far as I know.
Thought he was with Dallas because he knows the system, and he's smart. So he would be a good fill-in or, you know, backup and a mentor.
Well, I agree, but, you know, I think that's a good point. But I think that also probably shows why maybe Dan Connor doesn't have a ton left that the Cowboys haven't tried to sign him.
I'm surprised because he looked pretty, you know, good. But as far as, like, a savvy veteran.
Right.
Also, Bosworth. But maybe he's more of a special teams type guy like Herzlick. So I don't know if they're that impressed. Bosworth, but he was here, so he knows the system. And Shakes can't live down Aaron Curry. Aaron Curry, right? He could come out of retirement, possibly. But I met Frank Gifford, the great Giant running back, Sunday.
Nice.
And he was nice as could be. It was his wife. Wine testing, and Gifford, she's still beautiful, so keep the Tino away. And he's still handsome, even at his age, and faster than the Tino. But he was impressed with my trivia question, but the Tino mocked it when I talked about Jim Thorpe and the historical running back. Because when I told Gifford, I said Native American running back, he was Olympic gold medalist, and he got real excited, and he was like saying how he was not. It was controversy because he won gold medals, so the league didn't know if they were going to allow him to play, and he was, you know, he got real excited over that. But that was my Frank Gifford. He was nice as could be, but I wanted to ask about the quarterback.
Yeah,
how the Tino said that they didn't look that sharp, and last season Eli threw that wobbler in Chicago when they were to the guy that they cut or let go. And to me, that was when the season ended, when they were coming back. You know, they were making the fourth quarter comeback, and that pass went awry. So how did the quarterbacks look? And sorry if it's a dumb question, you know, comment, but I always thought when they had Kurt Warner, why didn't they sit him down after that season and say, listen, we're going to improve the offense through free agency and the draft, but you just have to get rid of the ball faster, not take those sacks. Which they did in Arizona. They told him, you got to get rid of the ball
right,
or you're not going to play. And he knew it was his end of his career, you know, his last chance.
Well, they had Eli Manning, Andrew. That's, you know, why. I mean, you know, they wanted to build around Eli.
Eli for 2 years or three, you know, and run.
Nah,
you know,
honestly,
run.
I think they felt Eli was ready enough to step in there and kind of play right away.
Okay, that's a good answer. Thanks, John.
Thanks,
have
Andrew.
Have a good honeymoon and wedding.
Talk to you soon, my man.
Yeah.
Thanks, Andrew. Appreciate it. 201-939-4513. Remember, you know, I didn't hear DeTino dismiss the Jim Thorpe trivia question, but, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if back in, you know, DeTino's, you know, middle-aged days, when he was covering Jim Thorpe playing for the Bears, that maybe Jim Thorpe refused to give him a one-on-one, tried to talk to him in the locker room, and, you know, maybe he gave Paul, you know, the stiff arm. Maybe he was put off by the tan. I don't know. Now, so that's possible. Maybe that's why he wasn't too thrilled about the Jim Thorpe trivia question. All possible. Oh, boy. All right, two more callers that I'm going to go through. We got a lot of good Twitter comments today. I'm going to hit those before the show ends. So stay tuned. I'll get to you guys. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Drew in Virginia. Drew, you're up next, pal. What's going on?
Hey, John. How you doing, man?
Doing well, Drew. What's up?
Great, man. I see you survived the weekend.
I did.
Great. Hey, man, I just want to, you know, Beeson, the first thing, I'm coming in on the show late, so I don't know if you covered it, but I kind of caught, I think, the back end of a conversation.
Yeah, what do you got?
My question real quick, isn't Beeson out for, I think, 12 weeks of getting surgery? What was that again?
Well, again, the Giants didn't release anything. The last word from the Giants on this is that Beeson's going to get looked at by a specialist. I believe it was his team doctor when he was with the Panthers back in the day. And they'll evaluate exactly the best way moving forward, then they'll make a decision. Kim Jones tweeted last week that, you know, surgery was inevitable and it would be a 12-week recovery process. Now,
right.
The Giants
that's
haven't
the last word
exactly.
I got.
And the Giants haven't confirmed that. They haven't said that's right or wrong. You know, I don't know how Kim got that prognosis. She's a very reliable reporter, but, you know, every injury is a little different. So she might have talked to a doctor, gave him the injury. The doctor said, well, that's a 12-week recovery. But For Beeson, it could be longer, it could be shorter. Who knows? So I think until the Giants announce and they decide whether or not he's going to get cut and have that surgery, we can't really give a firm recovery time. Here's my guess. And from what I'm hearing, that it'll probably be, you know, he'll be due back either the third or fourth week of the season if everything goes well. But then the Giants have to ask themselves, do you use up a roster spot, try to get him back in week four, or you just put him on the PUP list, and then you try to get him back in week six? So the Giants will have a tough decision to make.
Okay. Yeah, I'm clear now. Because at first, you know, initially it was like he was lost for the season, blah, 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 but I get it. All right, I'm crystal now. Hey, man, the other thing, too, as Shakes just alluded to, and somebody else, too, yeah, you might want to go back and listen to the Friday tapes. But, yeah, those guys, not only were those guys just cutting people off, man, I mean, they was just dismissive of any questions that you asked. And, you know, this is why, you know, I think a lot of fans and me, we really prefer you and Lance, is because you guys engage, whether you agree with us or not, you engage and you and to our questions and our conversations, so you at least acknowledge those. This is one of the reasons why, you know, I want to take it personal, but this is one of the reasons why I don't prefer to call into Tino's shows, because he's dismissive and you get cut off. So, yeah, you know, I think a lot of fans was frustrated Friday. Moving right along, man, the other reason I kind of called, you know, and this is kind of off topic, on topic, but I just kind of want to say this anyway.
Yeah.
You know, I watched two great series in the last week. The NHL and the San Antonio Spurs. Now, first and foremost, okay, I can't even spell hockey. Okay, I have no clue at what I'm looking at. But I watched the Rangers Kings game, and the main reason I watch it because, you know, the Rangers is a New York team. If you're wearing a New York jersey, I'm rooting for you. If you're out there, you know, racing roaches. At any rate, the Kings was just thoroughly dominant. I mean, they just. it seemed like the Kings was just playing with the Rangers. And then you have the Spurs, and the same thing, man. The Spurs was just dominant. And if it wasn't for four straight missed free throws,
yep,
we could have seriously been looking at a sweep. I mean, it was just dominant. And it kind of reminded me of, you know, I was sitting and I was looking at the games and everything, and I'm a huge sports fan, and I'm looking at this, I'm like, man, I bet in both of these series, nobody particularly saw this coming. Maybe more so in, you know, maybe more so in the Rangers Kings game than the Spurs.
Well, I mean, true. I mean, you look at it this way. I mean, in a 5-game series over the course of 5 games, I think the Spurs outscored the Heat by more than 70 points. So
yeah, they did.
It's unbelievable.
They did. I actually, for me, I actually picked the Spurs in 6. I saw what the Spurs was doing. And I actually did pick. As a matter of fact, I got one of my people over here who's maintenance, and he's a huge Heat fan. And me and him was talking. And even when the Heat was playing Indiana, I actually told him that I thought the Spurs would win that game.
Yeah,
in 6.
I agree.
That series in 6. At any rate, man, you know, going back to things, so I was looking at that, and that was like, it kind of reminded me of when the I want to say 80. You know, my memory's a little slow. 89, I think, or 89, I think it was. At any rate, when the Giants played on Denver, and, you know, everybody was talking about, oh, we got to stop Joe Morris. And it turned out that Denver and them actually had to stop Phil Sims. When
86
he had that
Super Bowl. Yeah, 86.
All right. When he had that phenomenal passing game. I mean, I was watching that thing, and I'm like, boy, this guy cannot miss. But it was a fun series. You know, my point is, man, it was a fun series. And, you know, this is why I like sports, man. But the last thing, like I said, Matt, just yeah, I don't know what your policy is, but like I said, you and Lance definitely run the show a totally different than Paulie D and them guys. And John, take care, man. Have a great week, and I'll talk to you later.
I appreciate the call. Thanks, Drew. 201-939-4513. Don't be too hard on PDOT, folks. He's a good dude. But I will take a listen, and I will see how the show is run differently. All right, 201-939-4513. Final call of the show. I know some guys are calling in, but folks, I got to run. So I'll do these, and I'll do Twitter. I promise you I'll do Twitter. I'll do Twitter before I say goodbye as well. I got some really good comments and questions on there. But we'll wrap up with Derek in Atlanta, Georgia. Derek, you're our final caller today. What's up, pal?
Good morning, John.
Hey, Derek.
Hey, I think it was a transition between calls with Paul. I hate to beat a dead horse. I did have like two questions, and I told them I had two questions, and I kind of made a comment, and then I just heard silence. But I did, you know, I know that's not Paul's normal. To me, he's never been like that. So I sent him a Twitter message, and he responded and said he's sorry, and but he was trying to just get through all the calls. So, you know, I accepted that.
Yeah, right. And honestly, Dad, from what I understand, since we had practiced that day, they really had to wrap the show at 10:30, and they had a lot of calls in the line. So they're trying the best to get everybody in. And, you know, in order to get everybody in, sometimes you have to go a little bit faster with people. So that is part of the deal as well.
Okay. Yeah. So with Beeson, you know, I hate to say anytime you get injured is a blessing in disguise, but maybe it'll give the rookie, you know, some more reps, and maybe he can, you know, we can see him earlier in rotation, dispel Beeson throughout the year, you know, and to give him a couple of breaks there. I know we don't like to rotate middle linebackers that much, but, you know, it'd be nice to, you know, be able to do it if we had to. And, you know, without having moving McClain over, you know. So I think if you have McClain there, I think just let him, in ideal, you let him concentrate at Sam, you know, and then you try to find a backup at Mike for Beeson. I had a thing about Prince also.
Sure.
I think Prince is going to have one of the best seasons that we've seen him have. Because right now, in the highlights, what I'm seeing in practice, every time I'm looking at one of the highlight films, I'm seeing him tip away balls from receivers. Now, I don't know if that's an indictment on our receivers with DRC and Prince always all over the place, but he's looking good. And then this year, he's going to go against the second wide receiver on the other team. He's not going to go against the first wide receiver.
Well, you know, Derek, so, I'm not sure how they're going to work it. I doubt they'll follow the guys around the field. My guess is that Prince will play one side and Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie will play the other. I don't know that, but generally they haven't moved Prince around before, and that's not something Perry Fuel has done a ton of in the past. So one guy will play each side, and whoever lines up, that's who the guy will cover. That's my guess. I don't know. That's just me kind of you know, predicting how they're going
to I know he's comfortable on his side, but to me it would make a lot of sense to – Calvin Johnson's usually be on his side of the field, you know, that first game. And to me, I would think that you know, either you come into that game plan saying that we're going to leave Prince, he's comfortable over there on his side, but then make sure we roll coverage to his side for Calvin Johnson, and then we'll have DRC and Walter Thurman take everybody else. But it would be nice to see, you know, our best cornerback, as DRC is supposed to be, take on Calvin Johnson, you know, so.
Sounds good, Derek. I appreciate it, and I agree. If you've, you know, I'm not saying Prince isn't good enough to cover other teams' top wide receivers, but if you got to roll coverage to your number one, to the other team's number one over there, there's absolutely nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. Okay. You have a good weekend.
Hey, thanks, Derek. Appreciate it, man. Well, I'm not to the weekend yet. I wish I was, but that's okay. Let's survive the week first, shall we? 201-939-4513. You guys did a great job on the phones. Now let's hit up some Twitter questions. Let's see. Trina NY, I tried to call on Friday, but then I ended up hanging up. Well, Trina, call back. You've been tweeting us for like 3 years. I haven't heard your voice on the phone yet. Give us a call. Let's see. H. Carson fan, our man at Night Moves NJ. Final point, never thought Gilbert took full advantage of Eli's ability to run the up-tempo offense. McAdoo will, I do believe, that they will run more up-tempo offense, no question about it. Sonny Boy, 23-23, can we go with the three safety package instead of the traditional 4-3, bring roll down in the box? Look, you can do that, but really, is your third safety going to be that much better than your extra linebacker? And I hate bringing roll into the box. Roll played his best year as a Giant last year because he actually got to play his natural position. I want to leave him back there, let him do his job, and play the position he knows how to play. And by the way, great story by Paul Schwartz yesterday on Ancho Roll and his dad and his family on Father's Day. I thought it was a great story. Check that out if you get a chance. It was just very, very well written. At Mr. Ruiz 81, liked the way Paysinger stepped it up last season. Look, Paysinger's solid. He's not going to, you know, make above the X's and O's type of plays, but he's solid. I'll say that. Patrick Wallace, Beeson was solid for the Giants, but he did not play at a Pro Bowl level. Still a lot of solid D linemen on the squad. JPP Ayers. That's true. Remember, McLean's never played middle linebacker in a 4-3. So even if Beeson wasn't a Pro Bowler and he was just a very, very good middle linebacker, that's still better than anybody else on the roster right now. Ukitis and Debbie Webb, if we had rookies who were ready to make plays, Coughlin would play them. We haven't had any during his time. That's a great point, and I'm happy you brought that up. I think that's very well said, to be quite honest with you. And a lot of people give Coughlin, I think, too much blame for not playing these rookies. I mean, he played Justin Pugh last year from day one, and he started all 16 games. So I think that is a little, you know, little exaggerated from time to time, and I forgot to say that before, but at Webb and Associate, good point, I agree. At Big Show 88, he points out Jim Thorpe played in the 20s, John, LOL, even Dottino wasn't born yet. I'm aware. That's why I was needling him, having some fun with him, because Dottino is extremely, extremely old. I'd like to point that out from time to time. Let's see, what else do we got here? At Pint 1998, a veteran would have been keeping Chase Blackburn. Well, I'm not sure how much he had left either, but that could be veteran backup if, you know, you wanted to go there a couple years ago. Ben Gruen, if Dallas couldn't find a replacement in free agency at middle linebacker, what makes you think the Giants will 2 weeks later? Great point. The Cowboys certainly a bigger need than the Giants there. Dave from Rochester, Dottino spray pen was affecting his judgment. Well done. Let's see, what else do we got here? Avery, the prime example of a team great overcoming injuries is, dare I say, the Patriots. The Giants need someone to step up. The Patriots do a great job of plugging and playing. I agree with that. That's fair. At Night Moves NJ, true. Prince is going to line up against, DRC is going to line up against number one wide receivers. The knock on him is that he's not a robust tackler. And again, I can't speak to that yet. No contact in OTAs. Had Big Blue got rings. It's going to be a good day when Charlie turns the frowd upside down. Jerry DK, surprised Charlie has not blamed Jerry Reese for John Beeson's injury. Yeah, Charlie was very optimistic, and other people are enjoying that too. At Patrick Wallace, at Wall Pat R, really hoping Eli Manning stays healthy this year. Matt Nassib did not impress and is looking like a wasted draft pick. I think it's a little early to call him a wasted draft pick. It's only his second year, fourth-round pick. Let's give the kid a little time. But, yeah, obviously you want Eli to stay healthy, no question about it. And let's see. At Avery, what's up with the Kennard kid? I talked about him. And I think that kind of covers most of the tweets on today's show. Everybody, good job. Way to stay with it. Way to be with us. I like it. 201-939-4513. Just pointing out, Trina said she'll try again tomorrow. This actually is, I would probably say, the best time. If you want to get in and call in on the show and not have great wait times over the next 3 or 4 weeks between now and training camp, there won't be a ton of news, a lot going on. So you guys want to call in and get in and talk to me and talk to Paul or whoever's going to be here, that's the time to do it. So tune in, give us a call, and we'll get through your calls and over the course of the next few weeks. It's probably the best time to do it. There's not a ton going on. And remember, I'll be here all week this week. Paul and Anita will be hosting again on Thursday. Then I'll be here next Monday and Tuesday, and then finally I'm going to have Lance coming, I think, on Wednesday this week and do the show with me. And then next week I'll be here Monday and Tuesday. Then you got Lance and Dottino rotating for 2.5 weeks. Should be fun. Everybody, good job on the phones. Good job on Twitter. I will reply physically on Twitter once I get off the air here. And you guys have a great day. So will I. And we'll talk to you tomorrow morning on Giants.com. Everybody have a great one.